This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
The following is a live copyrighted presentation. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for RadioLawTalk.com with your host, Frederick Penny, attorney at law. And now, RadioLawTalk.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of Radio Law Talk. I'm your host, Frederick Penny, with my co-host, Denise Dirks, Cal Hunter, behind our slanted glass that we talked about, Hour number 1. Call us at 855-LAW-RADIO. Remember, seek local counsel. We're talking about general topics of law. See our disclaimers at RadioLawTalk.com. You can only use us and what we say around the dinner table with the in-laws when they say. And if they say, you know what, they say the following, you can counter that with, you know what Radio Law Talk says, and Denise Dirks and Fred Penny and Cal Hunter and Todd Cunin say, and then you can use that to counteract those they-sayers, especially around the dinner table, usually Christmas, you know, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, whatever, and you will be a favorite, a crowd favorite.
But now we can gather over the 4th of July, like with three people and face masks around a little teeny tiny barbecue made of one briquette.
Cal, are you ready for this?
Yeah. What?
I was shocked. I was shocked. So yesterday I traveled quite a bit. And as you know, I have offices in California, but I do dealings with partners in other states.
So primarily in the West, in the Western area.
West, actually, I'm all over.
Oh, no,
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 we're nationwide. We're in 45 states.
But I'm saying you're traveling.
Yes.
Primarily.
Yeah, but so where I had to go is I had to go to San Bernardino, California.
Yeah. Beautiful place.
Ready for this? I was shocked. San Bernardino, then I had to go to Salt Lake, and then back to San Bernardino, and then I had to be in Van Nuys, then Sacramento. Anyway, I travel all over. And as I flew into San Bernardino, I grab my mask, I get out of the plane, and I walk in. It's what's called an FBO, which is kind of a private airport.
That stands for Fixed Base Operator.
Right? And it's separate from the airport. It's kind of on the side. And I go walking out there, and I look. The people on the line have no masks on. Don't forget, this is California.
Wow.
This is California. That's the last place to do anything. And then I walk into this facility, which, by the way, gorgeous facility, you know. Walk in. I look at the workers, and nobody had masks on. I look at everybody sitting around. And there's probably eight people. A lot of them are pilots, private pilots, and you know, some of their passengers. Nobody's wearing masks.
That means the good guys
are
winning.
Nobody's wearing masks. And I was like, so I didn't put my mask on. And I'm like, wow. And I guess apparently, maybe I'm not wrong, but San Bernardino County is saying it's not a big deal. I don't know what's going on, but that was bizarre to me.
They're, you know, they're surrounded by desert, right?
I don't
San
know.
Bernardino County is surrounded by desert.
Yeah.
There's a lot of desert. And also, it's not that much population.
Yeah,
isn't it a lower population?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe most of them are vaccinated.
And
or
it could be their numbers are low. I mean,
yes,
if their numbers are low and they've got a high vaccination rate,
mm-hmm,
and they calculate, the state does and the counties do, on the number
That's
of
right.
cases per 100,000 people. And so if your numbers are low,
I should have shut up, right, Cal? Can you see it?
It is county by county,
but,
and not the whole state
but
mandate.
But you see the problem now?
I do.
Governor Newsom's listening to me. He listens to me probably all the time. Fred Penny, oh my gosh, we gotta send the troops down to San Bernardino County. Governor Newsom, hey, where that? Wait a minute. I'm heading over to the French Quarter to go eat some food. You know. Sorry, but we're politically neutral, but I got to laugh about that one. But anyway, I was kind of shocked.
What about in Utah?
It was quite delightful. No masks in Utah. At least people, see, here's the deal. Some people are wearing masks, some aren't. And more power to you if you wear them. Go for it. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just kind of one of those. Again, I grew up in Penryn. Right? Look up Penryn. Those of you all over the United States, we're nationwide with this radio.
P-E-N-R-Y-N.
P-E-N-R-Y-N. Yeah. Look
right,
that
not
up.
Penguin.
Yeah, Penryn. 605 population. I tell you, I rolled in manure. I drank out of the ditch water. There ain't nothing killing me. I knock on wood, man. That's
because, hugged a pig.
It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I'm the picture of that guy that had all the grimy, slimy hands, and we played in the ponds and swam. We swam in ponds that are muddy and little frogs popping up next to you, bullfrogs, and that's where I swam in. And I'm like,
now, mine was Oakley, Idaho. Same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing.
So I don't know. For me, I'm just like, anyway, but we're we're having a wonderful time. We're going to do a case or no case. Remember, we're talking about a number of issues concerning the Supreme Court. The main one we're going to talk about is whether or not a school child, and I know you've heard it, but we're going to come from a lawyer's perspective now, and I'm going to talk about the Tinger case a little more, but I bet you the pundits didn't talk about the case it's based on. We're going to talk about the Supreme Court, whether or not a child outside school does some, I want to say, derogatory things, if they can discipline them on for school
and
activities.
The school,
right,
in the
school.
Them.
And you know what's the shocker to me, to be honest with you? This is an anecdotal thing. And again, we're staying neutral, and everybody's got their different ways of doing things, right?
Right.
But I'm going to say this. I found out the young gal who's now 18, this happened when she was 14, said that her parents never disciplined her, or were more worried about her, I guess. And I get that, because teenage girls at 14, are, that's a rough time. But she was never disciplined or never really. I could read the quote. But basically, but think about it. When I came home from school and I did something wrong and I was suspended or did something, first thing my dad asked, what did you do wrong, son?
Right.
Never, not nowadays, it's, I'm going to go down there and beat the teacher up. What did the teacher do to my kid?
Right.
No, it's like, what did you do wrong, son?
No, if that came, the first sound I heard was the belt coming out.
Yeah,
and the second one was, what did you do? There was no presumption of innocence on my part, ever.
That's so true.
Ever. Right.
You know, I used to get my brother, and I'd say, hey, the school called today, and I know what you did today.
Ooh.
And he'd go, you do? I go, yeah, you better just confess. And then he would tell me what he did, and there was no call from the school, by the way. And I would then hold it in my pocket until I needed it. If you don't do this, then I'm going to tell.
So Denise Dirk, blackmailer in training.
Absolutely.
All right.
I was good at a young age.
That worked.
Do we have just time to set up our case or no case or not, Cal? You tell me.
Let me look. I think it might be kind of a longer one.
Is there a theme?
The theme is hot pants that are not cool pants.
Ooh.
Let's wait.
Let's wait. I don't have time.
We don't have time because he's got to go over there. But I want to go jump back into the student discipline thing. And this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to have case or no case the next segment. But what we're talking about is a child who was on the cheer. She was a junior cheerleader, right? And she didn't get bumped up to the varsity, and she was mad. So she went on her Snapchat and said some interesting things and used the middle finger. And they disciplined her, and for what, about a year, took her off the cheer, and her dad filed a civil lawsuit on her behalf saying that was unconstitutional.
Yeah.
You can't, that's her free speech.
She was on Snapchat.
But did she have her uniform
home.
On?
At home.
No. She was just at
There's
home.
No connection.
Okay.
That's
connection.
The weird part. It's going to be, this is going to be a really fun one.
Right.
To see how it turns out.
What's interesting is that they use this, the Tinker case, which is back in 1965 of a family, that was against the Vietnam War. And this family, had their children go high school all the way down to age 11 that had armbands that said something to the effect, you know, stop the war. And the Supreme Court came out in that case and said, basically, no, they can wear it. And there's a test that they went through the Supreme Court to determine that's free speech the kids could wear. And this was, by the way, on the school property.
Mm.
And not in this case that we're talking about today is off school property. And so you'll be interested to see what happens with the courts in the Tinker case and how they apply it. And there's a test we're going to go over to determine whether or not this is free speech for this gal outside of the school system. And or whether the school can discipline for activity. Don't forget, we're kind of in the bullying mode now situation also.
That's true.
And the best
climate.
And the interesting part about it, Denise, we talked, there's conservatives and liberals all over the place kind of holding hands on it. It's all over the place. Case thing, go over that case that we just talked about that child.
The case of the cool hot pants is coming up on Case or No Case and the Supreme Court case that Fred and Denise have been talking about next on Radio Law Talk after we take our first break of this hour, which we'll do, and we'll be right back. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
This portion of Radio Law Talk is brought to you by Strauss Naturals. For more information, go to StraussNaturals.com.
That's Strauss, StraussNaturals.com.
Wayne Elliott here to tell you about my experience with Strauss Naturals Heart Drops over the past 20 years. Strauss Heart Drops saved me back then and changed my life forever. It's hard to describe how invigorating it is when you support your healthy blood flow everywhere. There is scientific evidence that Heart Drops ingredients help maintain healthy lipid concentration. Cholesterol is in the blood lipid group. This supports blood flow, our body's most important function. I was able to maintain a healthy heart and blood flow. Strauss Heart Drops work, I can assure you. No contraindications with pharma drugs. Strauss Heart Drops are safe, and Strauss guarantees your satisfaction with a hassle-free guarantee so you can't go wrong and certainly have nothing to lose. I've seen folks taking Heart Drops that have greatly improved their lives. Available online at StraussNaturals.com. Thank you very much.
These products may not be right for you. Always read and follow the label.
I've got to get my car washed. The dirt, it just won't do.
Best thing about Quick Cut Car Wash is whenever you go through, the smell of your car is always great, and they have super fun lights and colors.
But I don't have no time today. I don't know what I do.
Your car smells good and is clean at Quick Cut Car Wash.
And I know this place right down the road.
Quick Cut Car Wash.
Quick Cut Car Wash.
Get the Quick Cut confidence.
Hop inside, let's take a ride and watch this.
Get the Quick Quack habit. Take a car once a week.
Just come and see. I guarantee your ride will steal the show.
I like Quick Quack because of the mascot, Quackles.
Come on, Quick Quack Car.
So we sell unlimited membership for per vehicle. You can add a family plan and add an additional vehicle at a discounted rate.
Don't drive that dirty car. Quick Quack Car. They'll have you looking sharp.
The old way of
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Poundy Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Radio Law Talk. I like that show.
That's true.
This is Radio Law Talk.
All advertising. Cal, we're ready for the most important part.
So you're telling me that you think I should get over there to the open and roll this right here?
Now it's time to play Case or No Case.
Remember, no wagering. We're in a no betting state. I want to make sure that that's clear.
We're in a no betting room either.
They were called by the manufacturer cool pants.
Okay.
Activewear that kept the wearer cool during workouts. up to 15 degrees cooler than the ambient temperature, the ad said online. This was said to be done by the fabric because it wicks away the sweat. The evaporation then cools the body down. So federal agent Ellery Jameson of Phoenix, Arizona, decided to give them a try. Spent more than $100, got one of the cool shirts, the cool shorts, even got cool socks. Now, she was a runner working on a triathlon training regime. So in late June of 2019, she took off on a lunchtime training run of 15 miles. After 6 miles, she felt really sweaty. After the 9th mile, she was breathing hard and lightheaded, needed to stop and cool down somehow, but she just couldn't cool down. Her running companion, Mary Ann, said then she stopped, clutched her head, and fell over unconscious. Mary Ann took all the proper steps, called 911, got the water on her friend, got her breathing, cooled her down. When the EMTs got there, they said, heat stroke, a severe case. Ellery was at risk of permanent brain damage. So off to the hospital she went in an air-conditioned ambulance. But the damage was done. The heat stroke left Ellery with some damage to her brain that compromised her right side, meaning that running would never be the same. And in fact, her life would not be the same. After her release from the hospital, she went home, and it was rehab, rehab, rehab. And then she went to an attorney and said, cool pants, my burning bum.
I like that quote. Cool pants, my burning bum.
Well, maybe,
or burning man, whatever.
Yes, I was hotter than I'd ever been. So hot, I suffered a severe case of heat stroke, damaging my ability to earn money, as I can no longer be a field agent for the Immigration and Naturalization Service because I can't pass the physical. So she asked her attorney, case. Or no
I guess Denise has to start.
What
say
you?
This one's on your alley. And
this is up right up my alley.
I'm trying to kind of keep them.
I kind of like it. It's a really fun thing. What was the name of the company again?
Cool Pants.
Cool Pants.
That's how they advertise themselves.
Okay, so can victim, I don't know what else to call her because I forgot her name already.
Plaintiff.
Can plaintiff sue Cool Pants because she ran 9 miles and had a heat stroke and got brain damage? That's the question.
In Phoenix in the beginning of summer.
In Phoenix in the beginning of summer. Okay, so that's a very important fact.
I think it is.
That's because what happens in Phoenix?
Hot.
It gets over 100 degrees.
Almost 9 miles.
Should you be wearing pants in Phoenix?
Well, they're short. Yeah, they're shorts.
They were long shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're called cool pants.
Cool pants. Cool.
She forgot cool
pants. It is a case, and she loses because the court took judicial notice of the temperature that day.
Ooh.
And it was over 110 degrees, and nobody in their right mind should be running 9 miles in that kind of temperature.
But you're training for a... Okay, fair enough. Fred, what say you, my friend?
This is a case. Is a plaintiff's case, and the issue becomes, you know, the lady lived in Arizona. The question that Denise brought up is they should have taken judicial notice of the heat, but that doesn't matter. Cool Pants would know that people are using this in the Arizona heat, and that's the purpose of it. Is usually people in a heated country, state, city would probably be using cool pants. People in Alaska probably aren't using cool pants. So, or Greenland or Iceland. But, so the knowledge that they were going to use it there, the issue was there a warning? And I guess the question was there a warning label? And, or were they not working according to what they,
Was there a product manufacturer defect?
Well, no, or defect, or what they advertised. How did they advertise it?
False advertising.
Yeah, would it be false advertising or not? All that stuff we don't know. But I'm going to say it's a case, and it settles out of court.
That's great.
Rico Centavo.
Well, I can make this easy for
let's
all
make
of
it
you.
Easy.
Let's see.
You both said it's a case.
Then he said it was a case, and Fred said it was
yes.
a case. You did. Oh, boy. How did you get all that information? I saw an ad for them in Popular Mechanics, and I said, and I read all the information on them, and I said, this is really interesting. And this will make a good case or no case.
He just flat out had nothing, and he just nailed it.
Could I say something?
Yeah.
Cal gets 3 points. He's on the board.
Yes, finally, right? And next time, we all know Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood theme song. someone tried to borrow it, and Fred Rogers was not happy.
Ooh.
Next time on Case or No Case, we will want to stay tuned for that.
1965, Tinker v. I can't remember. How about Desmaria Independent? No, Des Moines, Desmaria. I can't read my writing. It's Des Moines. I knew that was from my head. It says Des Moines. I wrote so poorly. Tinker v. Des Moines School District. 1965 is a very famous case called the Tinker Test and the Substantial Disruption Test. Those of you who have been talking about this all week and the pundits have been talking about this case where the girl is off campus and Snapchats because she's upset. She wasn't able to go on the varsity cheer team because she's on JV. They kept her on JV. She uses the middle finger and she says some expletive things. The school district for 1 year goes... they go ahead and suspend her from the cheerleader, being a cheerleader, and her dad sues, right? That's what we're going to talk about when we come back. But the dad sues, and let me tell you what happens. The dad sues, and the court in Tinker holds a school must show a student action cause something more than a mere desire to avoid discomfort and unpleasantry from a controversial viewpoint. Cal, you're just going to go out on this, just so you know.
Yeah, I like
it. It must materially and substantially intervene with the requirement of discipline in the operation of a school. That is the standard that the court's going to have to understand and read for this case.
Wow, so it can't just embarrass you. It has to really cause a problem.
It has to really cause an issue or a problem for them to stop this free speech or make them so they can be disciplined. We'll be back with Denise Dirks and Cal Hunter.
Jason Ross back here with Fred Penny, managing attorney from Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers. Now, Fred, what type of cases are you dealing with now, and what sets you apart?
Jason, we help people with all types of personal injury cases. We're former insurance company trial lawyers. We understand the other side, which gives us a distinct advantage over our competition. Remember, we don't get paid unless we win.
That's Penny & Associates Injury Lawyers with locations throughout California. For a free consultation, go to pennylawyers.com or give them a call, 1-800-616-4LAW. That's PennyLawyers.com.
All advertising for legal services on Radio Law Talk is strictly for the state or states in which the advertiser is licensed. For more information, go to RadioLawTalk.com.
Not all law firms have extensive experience in all areas of the law. It's wise to look for firms that have knowledge and understanding in your particular area of concern. So go to ProLawFirms.com. They have listings of attorneys in key areas of practice, such as family law, estate planning, personal injury, bankruptcy, and so forth. When you're looking for a lawyer that has extensive experience in your particular area of need, go to ProLawFirms.com. That's ProLawFirms.com.
ProLawFirms.com is not a law firm and does not endorse or recommend any specific law firm.
This is Denise Dirks. We can represent clients in divorce, legal separation, child and spousal support, custody, termination of parental rights, step-parent adoptions, guardianships, and even conservatorship matters. Call 1-877-886-7186 for a consultation.
The law offices of Denise L. Dirks provide family law services in Northern California. When the law affects your family, call 877-886-7186. The family of attorneys at Denise L. Dirks is here to help.
If you're one of those independent people who wants your own business and you love food service, we just might have a great opportunity for you. Iceberg Drive-Ins. Iceberg is famous for its thick shakes and delicious food. We lend you our supply chain and expertise, and you can potentially have a thriving, successful, fun business that your customers will love. Iceberg Drive-Ins has some prime areas available right now, so if you're interested, get in touch with us right away. Go to icebergdrivein.com and click on the Contact Us button. Iceberg Drive-In.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
A Russian envoy to the Iran nuclear talks is saying they're now making some headway. Today in Vienna, diplomats from Russia, China, Germany, France, and Britain talked about how to bring the United States back to the agreement. Iran is looking for immediate sanctions relief, and the White House is said to be considering scaling back some of the most toughest sanctions. It's been 10 years since the leader of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, was killed in Pakistan.
We wanted to get bin Laden. I'm really happy we got bin Laden. We sent a message that no matter who you are, how tough you think you are, we have men and women who will go get you, and we did.
Robert O'Neill is the Navy SEAL who killed the terrorist in 2011, which was 10 years after the 9/11 attacks. Today in Afghanistan, the U.S. and NATO forces that still remain there have started leaving. President Biden has ordered them out of the country by September 11th. This is USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
I like the Amber Joseph Valley. Oh, come on. I'm mean at this time.
Email the show anytime you'd like. info@radiolawtalk.com. I-N-F-O. Info.
Info.
At radiolawtalk.com.
.com.
Now it's time for more Radio Law Talk.
We were talking about student Snapchat profanity and the Tinker case that's up with the Supreme Court. Tinker was a case that was decided a long time ago whereby the family members wore Stop the War armbands.
They were anti-Vietnam War protesters.
That's exactly right. Okay. And they wore them to school. And the question in that case was, can the school make them take off the armbands, or is this free speech? And the Tinker Court said free speech, right?
But there's another interesting case I remember we talked about a long time ago, and that was where a student wrote an editorial and did some investigative work into some things at the school that were not necessarily proper and published it in the school paper. And the Supreme Court said, no, the school, it's a school newspaper, therefore the school has control over administration as opposed to the student journalists.
Absolutely.
So it's interesting how that goes, isn't it?
It does, and it does seem to be the connection to the school.
Yeah.
So in the Snapchat profanity case, the trial court upheld the school's decision to punish the student and make her be a stay off a cheer for a year. And they said that the Tinker case doesn't really apply, right? So the appellate court said, no, this is a distinction from the Tinker case because the actions in Tinker happened at school. And in the Snapchat case, the student at issue was off campus at a store with a friend when she, you know, said basically...
When she did what she did.
Yeah, yeah, the right, profanity-laced right, right. thing, complaining about the school, about cheer, about... And if the Supreme Court applies the substantial disruption test that was set forth in Tinker, it's going to be hard for them to show that what she said in the Snapchat, which, by the way, was supposed to go away and never be seen after it was
posted.
That's the
theory. It fades up and it goes away. Right?
Right. But somehow the school saw it. So if they have to apply the substantial disruption. So if they find that Tinker is not distinguished here because there is no on-school action
or speech. Right,
yeah.
Right, right.
Yeah, and all of that. So we're going to watch this because this is really going to be a fun case to watch. It is something that, like Fred said, it applies to, there's bullying in today's world. And at schools, the school has a really big interest in trying to stop bullying. They just do. And so do parents.
Well, the thing I find sad about this, Denise, is that this sophomore, right, was she a sophomore, has so many grievances against the school and apparently no place to let them out except on Snapchat. I mean, the things were really all that bad with softball and really all that bad with cheer. Who can she talk to about it other than just spout off? You know, I mean, something doesn't quite seem right to me.
Well, why does she feel the need to publicly do it? Because once you enter into Snapchat, it's no longer just a private conversation, right?
It's all out there.
It is. It is a public statement. And what kind of freedom do we have for public statements? Clearly, if she had said, let's go burn down the school.
Right.
Right.
Let's go hang the principal or some stupid thing like that.
Exactly.
Well, that's an issue. That's a threat.
Right. Right. That would not be protected speech.
Right.
Because it's really a call to action. That could be dangerous action. So at some point when speech is done, there is speech that's going to cross the line and not be protected speech. And there's speech that is protected clearly. There's a bright line to it. And then there's this gray area, and especially when you're talking about, I believe, students and schools.
How much do you suppose her age or her status as a student is going to end up playing into this?
I think it's going to play a lot into it because what she said really, and it is recognized as kind of mere teenage angst.
Yeah.
Right? And in today's world, I mean,
there's plenty of that.
Yeah, and they may shake, you know, shock the conscience here, but teenagers cuss a lot.
No. Use potty mouth language.
Yes, and I even have my F word Friday sometimes.
If you don't believe me, you should be on a football practice field sometime and just bring your earplugs.
That's right. That's right. And so, you know, this really is, I think it's a very timely case. And I think one of the things we're going to see about what's going on with the Supreme Court right now is that they really are picking and choosing carefully the cases that they are deciding to hear.
Why do you suppose they took this one?
Well, because the trial court said one way, the appellate court said another, and it is free speech. And it's a perfect free speech case because the actors, one of the actors, the school, is a government entity.
Right, fair
so
point. Yeah.
It is a really perfect case to bring up free speech because, remember, the Constitution is a limitation on our federal government.
Interfering with our free speech.
That's
right.
Exactly right. It's that limitation.
How would you rule? Or how do you think they will? I know it's hard, but just, I mean, based on what you know so far, predict the outcome. It'd be fun.
I think they're not going to apply Tinker, and they're going to distinguish that it's not on-campus conduct, and thus the school does not have a substantial circumstance to impose the restriction. I think they're going to distinguish it from both Tinker, which is a great case,
you bet, yeah,
and about free speech and when you are allowed on campus to be able to say, stop the war. I mean, it's a big public issue and one that a lot of people had strong feelings either way about the Vietnam War.
Yep, they did then, yeah.
Right. And here, this isn't such a huge public issue. We're not talking about cheer is the end of the world, you
right.
know.
Right. It was just one person who was upset because she didn't make the team.
She
right.
didn't get elevated.
Yeah, but I mean, make it
yeah.
up to the next team. Right?
Yes. I was a JV cheerleader.
You were?
Yes. And this is going to be anecdotal, but when I was a JV cheerleader, I didn't get caught, but my other cheerleader friends and I went into the boys' bathroom at the school. We locked the door, and we were cheerleading in there. And then some of us left, and right before the teacher came in, and then the teacher came in and caught the others. And I had friends that were not elevated to varsity, but got demoted. and they got put on JV, and then there were JV that got promoted to varsity because of that one incident, that because girls were in the boys' bathroom and we were cheerleading. It was connected to cheer.
But were there any boys in there at the time?
No, there were no boys at the
time.
She was
in the bathroom because you liked the echo and all of that, probably, or the acoustics.
That's exactly right, and we liked the danger of it.
And the risk. Let's not forget the risk. But you weren't smoking cigarettes or weed or anything. No, you just in there yelling. Oh, well.
And we could have argued that was free speech, right? We could have said we were doing our cheers, and that's free speech, and we're protected. However, it happened on campus.
Yeah.
It happened during a school day, and it was related to our positions of being cheerleaders. And I think, looking back on it, that the discipline in that case about the demotion was right. And thank goodness I didn't get caught, because I would never have been on JV cheer after that.
So it was appropriate.
It was appropriate.
I think most times what happens to students in school, if the teachers and administration doesn't do something when they're angry, when things cool down, I think most times the punishment fits the crime, and most times the students know it. I think they'd go, well, you got me, and okay, fair enough. I took a risk. I lost. Yeah.
I totally agree. Yeah. And what we were talking earlier about the Supreme Court being very picky about its cases, one of the cases that it rejected is a very interesting case, too. It's a Texas versus California state case.
Oh, cool.
And because it is state versus state, it's what's called original jurisdiction. And it goes directly to the Supreme Court. We're not talking about trial courts, appellate courts. It just goes right up to the Supreme Court. And the court can decide to hear it or decide not to hear it.
So they still decided not to hear it, even though that would be, that's fascinating.
They did. And you know what it was about?
No.
And I think I can explain that, too. It's where in Texas, they allowed for adoption agencies to say, I am not going to, we are not going to allow adoption to LGBTQ.
Right.
I'm saying that wrong. LGBTQ, I said it right. Okay. And that was based on religious reasons, right? Because Constitution also protects your right to religion and your religious beliefs.
Right.
But California then said, hey, we're not going to have travel between California and Texas.
Right.
We're not going to let our government and our government.
If they're
going
to go to a convention, we're going to say we're not going to pay, and you're not
going to
go.
You're not going to Texas because of this restriction. Because in California, California says LGBTQ people are protected. Right? So it's like an idea between the states about how the Constitution applies, and because the U.S. Supreme Court rejected it, both states are right. Right now.
So there's no prevailing party, and you can't appeal away from the Supreme Court, I'm guessing.
That's right. So now we're going to have to follow that, what happens now at the state level, and whether or not we have another conflict, if you will.
All right. Stay tuned. Denise, thank you. Radio Law Talk will continue in just a minute right here. Stay tuned, please.
Commercials and other announcements aired on Radio Law Talk contain the opinions of the sponsor. The airing of said announcements on Radio Law Talk does not constitute an endorsement. The announcements may contain claims that are not intended to treat, diagnose, or cure any disease.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
I tried other brands, but I came back to my Sunshine.
For the best hot or cold pain relief, get the best. Get a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder.
And the best relief for that pain is a Sunny Bay heating pad.
Did you know that the American College of Physicians said that one of the best ways to treat muscle pain is heat therapy? Sunny Bay heating pads are handmade with high quality, can be used at home or at work, and have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy.
Why take another pill?
Many people use our Sunny Bay heating pads alone and got rid of the neck pain.
Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body.
Our homegrown small business tries to help people just like us. That's why we design and test our handmade products with great care before we introduce them to the public. You can easily find Sunny Bay heating pads on Amazon. Just go to Amazon.com and search for Sunny Bay heating pads.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamG'day.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamG'day.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamG'day.com with Longevity. TeamG'day.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you pay my fee, I'll take your cake.
This is Radio Law Talk with Frederick Penny.
Or Denise Dirks.
Fred had to go. Something pressing came up, and that's good. Isn't it fun to have him on the show? He's back. We missed him a couple of weeks when he wasn't here. Now we're missing Todd.
That is so true. We're missing Todd, and Fred will be back next week. So this is our last segment of our second hour.
This is it, yeah.
And we've been having a lot of fun talking about the Supreme Court cases, what they will hear and what they won't hear and what they've heard. And it's been a really fun time. I wanted to talk about, real quickly, about the California disclosure rule for charities, because the Supreme Court has taken this one up.
So what does that mean?
In California, they require charities to do an IRS form disclosure of their top donors. So that they it's a disclosure issue, and it's also an issue with regard to taxing and, you know, to make sure that everything's correct under state law.
So in other words, let's say it was the Denise Dirks Charity for Wayward Cats, or the Todd Kunin Charity for Wayward Cats, and I donated, you know, the most to the charity, let's just say.
Yes, then I would have to, as a charity person,
yeah,
I'd have to provide that IRS form disclosing you.
And that's public information?
It does become public.
How's that fair?
Well, that's the argument here. The argument by the charities is this is going to stop people from donating to the charities. If they're because a lot of times people donate anonymously.
Right.
Yeah. Right? And the interesting interplay here is because California's requiring it, and it's an IRS disclosure. So it does have a federal component to it.
Wow.
And so the Supreme Court said, hey, we're going to hear this. And, in fact, they heard it last Monday. And the Supreme Court justices were very skeptical of this. They say this is going to quell, this, first of all, is a free speech issue. Secondly, it's also whether or not it's going to have a cooling effect.
A chilling effect, as they say. Yeah.
That's right, against the donations. And they have to weigh the need of the state for information against the potential that its disclosure could make people nervous to join an advocacy group.
Well,
because these advocacy groups are charitable groups.
Right, and California has a history right now, a short term, of trying to make other things that have not been public. For example, people who signed a recall petition. There was a bill in the legislature that if I decided I wanted to sign the recall Gavin Newsom petition, that information would be public.
Yes.
And that's not anyone's business. I mean, I would think.
The only reason it would become business or an important where we'd have this test where you would have to weigh their need for information is just to verify signatures
right.
for purpose of the petition, whether or not it got enough signatures to get on the ballot,
yeah,
right?
But they wouldn't have to make it public.
That's right. It would be like an agency looking at it and verifying.
You know who sponsored the bill? A guy who got recalled.
Oh, really?
He was a little angry. But it died in the legislature, thank goodness. So, yeah.
So this all what this case does is it also brings up a landmark 1958 civil rights case that involved an NAACP.
Okay.
And why is this so important right now? Because the Supreme Court is actually challenging a lot of the old cases or distinguishing a lot of the old cases that are precedents.
Yes, I remember that. Can't remember her name now. Kagan wrote a dissenting opinion that said, "Hey, you guys are going against a precedent-setting case. What are you doing here?"
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, when she lost, I mean, her side that she wanted did not win. She was concerned about the precedent, and I'm thinking to myself, that's not the issue. The issue is the law. What does the law say? What was the intent of the legislators? I mean, intent is gone, dead and gone in many cases. What do you think about that? Am I wrong?
No, I think that in cases that involve the laws versus case law,
right.
that you're absolutely right. You have to be looking at maybe both, both the legislative intent and the case law.
Right.
But what is happening is that Supreme Courts in the past have come up with this decision, and it's like supposed to be, this is the fine line right here. This is it. And they're now either distinguishing from past decisions, or they're even overruling, or they can also, you know, affirm that.
Or put a different twist on it.
Yeah. Yes.
Change
affirm it.
Yeah, change
you
the
know?
Phase of it a little bit. Yeah.
So I think you're thinking of Sotomayor, too, recently.
Yes. Sotomayor, I'm sorry, that's
right.
What I meant. I apologize.
Yeah. No, that's all right. But Sotomayor is the one that said, hey, you guys just overturned a precedent that was 78 years old.
And the other justices said, oh, well.
They said, I think they felt like it was distinguishable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think they directly came out and said that can't be the law anymore. Because if they did that, it would hurt their reputation in a way. But things are changing so fast that you always have to interpret things with today's eyes, right?
The number of cases, the volume of stuff in the courts, and the number that are thrown at the Supreme Court, I think they're doing a good job of getting picky and saying, not mature enough for us. It's not time for us to look at that case. You guys get this figured out between you. You know, you don't need us to do. I mean, I think they're doing a great job at that.
I do, too. But the other interesting part about this case is that one of the organizations prompted some Democratic lawmakers in this case to ask for Amy Coney Barrett, justice, not to hear this case and be a part of it. She should be disqualified. So they asked her to disqualify herself and sit out. And that's because there's a connection between her and the main political arm, if you will, to this agency. And they also spent about $1 million to help get her on the Supreme Court, which could be looked at as being, you know, causing bias. But she didn't sit out.
Good for
she
her.
Didn't sit out. She stood up and she is sitting there and she participated in the arguments. And the arguments were looking like the Supreme Court was going to you know, strike down this disclosure rule.
Do you think they'll have a televised Supreme Court? Is it going to be audio feed only? I mean, some cases will allow an audio feed, but very, very rarely do you even see a picture from inside the Supreme Court, unless it's on a movie set that somebody made up. But what about televising that argument? What would you think about that?
I think it's a good idea.
I do, too.
I think that transparency in the law is always a good idea.
It's the people's business. Right?
Yes, and with Zoom or video conferencing that happens. Remember, that's the Supreme Court has been doing that type of oral arguments before them having it videotaped. And remember the person that didn't realize they were on and went to the restroom?
Yes, and then the other guy that was on and had the cat meme on. Yes.
Oh, that wasn't before the Supreme Court, but it was funny.
Yeah, yeah.
It was funny. And
so we could see like a Brady Bunch Supreme Court. I think that would be cool.
I actually like that idea a
lot.
Yeah,
I do too.
Because you get so much out of their facial expressions, out of the questions they ask.
You can tell whether they're being impatient or if they're just trying to truly flesh it out and get more, you know, information. But sometimes there's a tone to the voice and to the face where you go, ooh.
Where you're going, wow, he's trying to make this point.
Right.
And you get what they're doing. I think any time that the public can see that process happening and be a part of that process, I think it's better than it being behind closed doors. Because when this U.S. Supreme Court remains a mystery, then it's not like from the the people's princess. Do you know what I mean?
Credibility is diminished if you don't know the process. If you just say, well, let's take this to the mountain and see what Zeus says. But I think people would rather be in there and listen to the arguments and see what happens. And then when the ruling comes out, they at least understand the process.
That's so true. And what's interesting also about this particular case is there are three other states that have the same same rule of disclosure. And so even though it's only California before the Supreme Court right now, the import is going to be as against three more states.
It will spread out, yeah.
Yeah. And so if the rule is denied by the Supreme Court saying, no, you can't do this, then it's going to impact three other states. So other states are watching this extremely closely to find out what's going to go on.
That's a lot of power we give them, isn't it?
It is. I really like, you know, I like the Supreme Court. And then we're going to talk next hour about some of the procedural issues that get up to the Supreme Court. And the procedural issues in some ways are more important than the substantive issues because it goes all ways. The justices do not fall along any kind of ideological grounds at all. It goes all over the place. So we're going to talk about some fun things. So stay with us for our third hour, and we will be back.
Thanks for listening to us. As Denise said, we've got another hour to go here on Radio Law Talk. You're welcome to call us. You know the number. And you're welcome to email us info@radiolawtalk.com. We'll be back. Hold on.
You have been listening to RadioLawTalk.com, a copyrighted presentation of Radio Law Talk, Incorporated.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.